Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Chill out. You know, drink a 7-Up. Eat a moon pie. Quit murdering people.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed your weekend. One of the first things I wanted to get into, I've talked about this for quite a while. I don't want anybody to think that I am one of those like overly like protective or overly just into sports where it just like completely ruins my day. Like I could really give a goddamn what happens to a bunch of rich athletes. That's why I've always liked college football better than the NFL, because these are kids that are there. They are wanting to get into the NFL. They are now, well, now they can actually make money, which I agree with. Plus, they're getting a free education as well, too. And that's why I also do not have a problem with college athletes getting paid. Think of all the money that these coaches, think of all the money that these colleges are making off of the football program alone. The football program pays pretty much for 90% of the stuff that probably most likely happens at, like, say, the University of Florida or maybe a basketball school. It might be a little bit different with Kentucky and Duke. But over the weekend, two of my favorite teams, I root for Manchester United. Been rooting for Manchester United since 2010. When me and my ex-wife got into the World Cup, I think Sir Alex Ferguson, one of the greatest coaches of all time in sports alone. But both of the teams, especially Manchester United, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who was a player for the team, a legend, and they called him the babyface assassin. And he ended up getting sacked. That's what they call it. And I don't know if that sounds better. Like, were parting ways, getting fired, or sacked? I really don't know what is the worst out of all those. But let's just say they're all not good. So Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was sacked. I mean, there's no reason. He's got a squad full of superstars. And he can't win a goddamn thing. And I wanted to see Ole do a really, really good job. I mean, he seems like a nice guy, but maybe it was just a little too much for him. Maybe the club was bigger than what he expected. I mean, when you got Cristiano Ronaldo, Jadon Sancho, Marcus Rashford, Mason Greenwood, Edison Cavani, Bruno Fernandes, Paul Pogba, I mean, when you got a squad like that, you're supposed to be bringing home some silverware. But that's not happening. Not unless they can advance in the Champions League, which I don't see that happening. I don't even know who they're going to bring in. Everybody wants them to bring in Giggsy. I would love for Ryan Giggs to get a shot at being the coach, but he's got some problems of his own. And then also this weekend, Dan Mullen is a guy that I really, really liked. I thought he was going to bring back the glory days of the University of Florida. He ended up, I think, starting out at like 26 or 29 and 6. 29 and 6 at the University of Florida. And then he ends up after, and I will bring it up because a lot of people don't want to like to talk about it. And it kind of shows the willpower and the leadership that he has over the team. The team, I think, has not beaten but like one Power 5 conference team after they ended up losing to LSU after one of the guys tackled the LSU player for a loss. Game would have been over with. And you know what the defensive player does? He pulls off the guy's shoe and throws it. After that shoe game, the University of Florida have played like absolute dog crap. But that's something that I wanted to bring up. At what age are you supposed to be, like, accountable for yourself as a player? Because both of the teams that I'm talking about, Manchester United and the University of Florida, which both have, like, and back to what I was saying about not being way into a sports guy, I'm really not. But, I mean, those two teams hold, like, you know, near and dear memories for me. You know, the University of Florida, I ended up watching. Never missed one single game with my dad from the time I started watching football with him until present day. And this was the first season that I've ever had to watch the Florida Gator. So, that's the reason I'm kind of into it. And say what you want, even though my marriage didn't work out, I had a lot of great times. I went to England with my ex-wife to go see Manchester United play. So, yeah, I do have a little bit of investment in both of those teams, personally, going and supporting them. And I also know a lot of people like to give me crap about, oh, you didn't go to University of Florida, so why do you care about the... I hate people that say, oh, I don't understand how you can support a college football team if you never went to school there. Yeah, if that was the case, then college football would not be making as much money as it is right now. So you can go F yourself with that whole response. But at what age do the players start taking responsibility? Because the reason that I bring this up is it seems like the players quit on both coaches. Because both coaches are not bad. Dan Mullen, I think, is a great coach. Dan Mullen was bringing back the glory days of University of Florida College football. And then you got Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who still hadn't brought home any silverware, but finished second last year. You pick up a bunch of great players during the offseason. It just seems like the players quit on him. Like, where does it go wrong? Where do leaders, who are the coaches, end up losing the locker room? Because at the same time, I mean, it isn't it also on the players to be held accountable for the way that they're playing? Because you can't tell me all those games were on Dan Mullen or Ole Gunnar. They weren't. Because you can't look, they lost to a lot of inferior teams. Some of these players should have just been able to go out there like it was some, like, backyard football game between you and your friends and stuff. And you should have been able to win because you're that good. You know what you need, what needs to be done. And you shouldn't have to have a manager. But at the same time, I also know that why are some of these greatest coaches of all time are considered the greatest coaches? Because they demanded respect. They expected nothing but nothing less than 100%, and take pride in who you're playing for. And that can go in any, that can be fit into any little socket in everyday life about having leaders. I mean, there are leaders. There are just born leaders. There are people that can learn to be leaders, but then there are also just people that are followers. And there's nothing wrong with being a follower. There isn't. You know your place. You know what you're supposed to do. So there's nothing wrong with that. And there is a standard that's expected of you as a follower. Or if you're not getting it done, then you're going to get knocked down a peg. So I think it's a little bit of both. I think these players, probably weren't happy with the way things were going. Let's not act like they don't talk to each other away from the football field. And they all got together and was like, look, you know, we're going to play hard, but we're not going to play as hard as we want to, because guess what? We want Ale out. We want Dan Mullen out. And I really don't even really care that much about Manchester United. It's more about the Gators. Now, where do you go from there? Like, who do you pick up next? I know a lot of people are talking about Lane Kiffin. I don't know. I don't know, but you know what? Lane Kiffin might bring some swagger to the University of Florida. So, I mean, if he can bring in and come in and start winning, I am all for it. Feed me the ball, Lane Kiffin. That's what I would be saying. And I think Lane Kiffin's going to be a better recruiter than Dan Mullen ever was. So, yeah, didn't mean to turn it into the first little bit of the show, turn it into the Jim Rome show or any of those other sports broadcasters, Dan Patrick. No, I apologize for that. Just wanted to vent a little bit. I also wanted to talk a little bit about last week. I'm sorry. I know that I slacked a lot. If you go on my social media, you'll look. I have not really been on any of my social media. I haven't posted a damn thing. Barely have posted anything. And I was going through a little bit of a rough time last week. And I do apologize. You guys deserve better. You do. This all goes back to, at a certain point, you gotta hold yourself accountable. And I wasn't. Last week, I don't know what was wrong with me, guys. I just got in a rut. A lot of things really, really upset me. Wasn't sleeping a lot, so that's why I wasn't doing as long as shows. Because I was just tired. I was just beat down. And I know a lot of people are going through way harder times than I am right now. But I'm not making excuses. This is me on bending knees apologizing to you guys, the supporters, of the content that I'm putting out. So I'm going to do a better job to be a better broadcaster, be a better content provider for you guys. And let's get to it. I've been talking about this for quite some time, how the whole cancel culture thing is just getting way, way out of hand, how we all have to be politically correct now. When I talk about this next story, you guys are all going to be like, no, this has to be a satire. This has to be a parody. This has to be a skit that you would hear on the Chappelle Show or Key and Peele. No, this really is not. This is absolute real life, people. Like, now they are changing the word sex offender not to offend people that are actually sex offenders.
The Sex Offender Management Board, made up of everyone from public defenders to prosecutors, sets standards and guidelines for treatment providers, so the new terminology will only be used in that context. It doesn't change the term sex offender in law or in the criminal justice system. But some worry it's a step in that direction.
I'm involved today after hearing that it would be improper or offensive in some manner for me to reply or to speak about the man who raped me as a sex offender.
Like, oh my God. Is it like, okay. All right. So I got to calm down, breathe. Why are we really, really caring about this? Why are we spending any time on this at all as a government to worry about these damn sex offenders, these rapists, these child molesters, these just people? Now there are cases where people are labeled as sex offenders. Like, I've read stories of people that have been caught, like, taking a piss outside, and they got caught by a minor. And by law, if they're found guilty of that, guess what? They are now a sex offender. I think that's pretty crappy. And if you're an 18-year-old kid and you happen to hook up with a 16 or 17-year-old child or teenager. I really don't understand why that person should be considered a sex offender. But for these people, that there's no doubt in our mind that they are definitely 100% a sex offender. Why do we give a damn what these people think we call them? They committed the most heinous crimes against the weak. And I'm not calling women weak. See, that's how sad cancel culture is. When I'm trying to be like standing up against sexual offenders, I am also worried about getting canceled. So what I'm trying to say is I'm talking about the weaker, like physically. Now, there in some cases, there are women that are stronger than men. But children are definitely weaker and need to be defended. So we're all going to worry about these goddamn sickos that are raping and touching little kids? No. I say if they're worried about, they should be lucky that we have not killed them. They should be lucky that they're still alive. So I would love to know, like, and I guarantee you almost 100% whoever brought this up is not even a sex offender. Somebody that is actually would be offended by be calling a sex offender.
A rape survivor, Kimberly Corbin, among those who spoke out against changing the term sex offender to something less stigmatizing, saying labels based on traits people can't control is one thing.
I hate the use of this word, but I'm going to use it. This is the most woke story that I've ever played in my life. The most liberal, conservative type story that I could ever think of. Because you are not conservative. I mean liberal. Because this is definitely not a conservative story. Conservative story would be like, yes, kill that rapist. Kill that pedophile. So what I'm trying to say is that they should be lucky that is the worst thing that is actually happening to them.
It's very, very damaging for those people who are labeled when it has to do with gender, race, sexuality, ability. But those aren't their choices. The biggest thing to me is that this is a choice that sex offenders make.
Derek Lodge says he shouldn't have to carry the label for life.
Referring to me as by a label for something I did half my life ago is inappropriate.
No, sorry. Dude, do you hear yourself talking? Now, I mean, this guy could most likely be one of those cases that I was talking about, where he got caught peeing in front of a minor or something. But I can almost guarantee you this guy raped somebody or had like child pornography on his computer or touched a child, was a pedophile, whatever it may be. You know what? I'm going to say it. Fuck your feelings. I mean, if people, alcoholics, for example, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Right? Guys, I know for the people out there that maybe have not like gone through drug or alcohol rehab or tried to quit something. Once you're a drug addict, once you are a alcoholic, guess what? You're always that person. So if you were a rapist or you're a pedophile or you had child pornography, whatever sick things it could be, if you did that, that's who you are. That's who you're always going to be. So why are you so offended if that is what you are as a person?
And downright offensive.
What's offensive is you raping little boys. What's offensive is you raping women. What is offensive is you having child pornography on your computer. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're all offended by your actions, so why the hell are we caring about yours at all? I'm just being honest. Is this guy the biggest hypocrite that I have ever seen in my life? Yes, he is.
He argued client would be a better term. Public defender Kathy Heffron agreed.
It takes into consideration the uniqueness of individuals that are receiving treatment
client one of the board's five options. Supporters of the change in terminology argue it will reduce recidivism.
No, a client is not great. And I don't even want to mention, like, all right, so, like, for example, I'll use, like, Joe's Chop Shop. Joe's Chop Shop, if he was an advertiser on my business, Joe's Chop Shop, it would be a client. Not a pedophile. I'm not going to hire a pedophile to advertise on my show. Hey, this is Terry here. Terry, guess what? I love hanging out with little kids. I love going to playgrounds. I love my ether rags. I love my formaldehyde. I love everything when it comes to kids. I scream for everybody. Yeah, no, I don't want that type of client on my podcast.
Opponents say it will only reduce accountability. In the end, the board voted 10-6 to go with adults who commit sex offenses.
I'm sorry. What they came up with is worse than sex offender. Adults who commit. Hold on. Let's listen to that again.
Adults who commit sex offenses.
Adults that commit sex offenses or offenses. Yeah. That is way worse. But you know what? Maybe I'm all behind this now. Maybe I am behind changing it from sex offender to adults who have committed sex crimes or whatever it may be. Jesus Christ.
This strikes a balance.
Jessica Dodder with the Colorado District Attorney's Council worries the change won't end with the Sex Offender Management Board.
I'm concerned that the use of person first language generally is an attempt to remove accountability from offenders and to increasingly really diminish the experience of the victim.
I mean, I think this woman could have said it in a less confusing way than what she did, but I got to agree with her. I completely 100% agree with her, even though the way she explained it, nobody has a clue what she's supporting.
Last year, lawmakers considered a bill that would have, among other things, eliminated the term sexually violent predator from statutes, but they ended up pulling it. Meanwhile, a task force charged with sentencing reform is considering asking the legislature to change terms like defendant, convict, and felon to justice-involved people.
Oh, God. You know what? We are doomed. I mean, there's been a lot of things that have happened over the last 2 years that have made me, like, think that we're in a lot of trouble here in America. But this is one of the biggest blows that I've ever seen in my life. How are we going to start worrying about offending sexual offenders for what we're calling them? You lost that right when you tried to take advantage of a woman, even a man, even a child, girl or boy, or to have child pornography on your computer. You lost that right when you chose to make that decision.
See where that goes. Ironically, the Sex Offender Management Board, that'll stay named the same because they can't change their name. The legislature has to change it. So sex offender will remain in their name.
Once again, that's another statement of how bad things are in our country, that we go through all this red tag, red tape, whatever you want to call it, to be able to change things. And we guess what? We can't even change the name of the place that makes the decisions on what we're naming child sex offenders. Yeah, the biggest waste of goddamn money. And we wonder why we are such in a deficit right now. We just keep printing and printing and printing the money. Yo, so here's a tip. And I know that I sound like a real douchebag by saying yo. But if you're a social media influencer and you've thrown out the first pitch, you know, showing off your badonkadonk. You know, I just saw the movie Heat, and I didn't even know where that that drop from Al Pacino, but the one where it says, "She's got a great ass." Yeah, that was from the movie Heat. Anyways, this chick, I don't even know what her name is. But this armored truck in San Diego ended up getting into an accident. I don't know if it was hijacked, whatever it may be. But there was money, just stacks of money, just coating the freeway, the interstate, like it was snow. Now, the last thing that you want to do is actually film yourself picking up money that does not belong to you, even though, you know, the whole, like, phrase, finders keepers does not apply in the real world. So all that money that you're grabbing off the interstate and filming yourself, you are an absolute dumbass.
This is the most insane thing I've ever seen. Someone dropped money all over the freeway. San Diego has shut down. Literally, it has shut down. Look at the freeway right now.
By the way, not somebody. Now, I could see where some, like, social media influencer wanted to show out and throw a bunch of money. Maybe they've been saving up to throw out there to get them some clout on social media. I could see that. But there's a damn armored truck less than 50 yards ahead of you, and you know exactly where the money came from. But everybody knows who you are, bitch. Look. You just got to be smarter about it. I'm not saying that I wouldn't have picked up the money. Yes, I absolutely, most definitely would have picked up the money. But guess what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to film myself doing it.
Oh, my gosh. Literally, everybody stopped on the freeway to get money off of the freeway. This is literally insane. This is insane. Oh my gosh.
There we go to scissor night, baby.
Now, I'm sure that they're all going to claim, oh, we were just picking up the money. We're going to return it anyways. Because I'm sure that the only reason why they would have picked this up was just for, like I said, content for their social media pages. But come on, man. Like, if these people don't turn in some of this money, especially this big-ass name on TikTok, like I said, she's throwing out first pitches at the San Diego Padres games. Why the hell, like, I would love to get a little bit of an update here. Did she turn some of this money in? Because if not, she needs to be arrested just for being a dumbass. Not saying that I wouldn't have picked up money. I just think she needs to be in jail for being an absolute imbecile.
Yo, the entire freeway just shut down. They threw money. He's gone. Wow. He's gone, bro. The freeway is empty. Literally, the freeway is empty. There's cash all over the ground. Literally, look, we're the only people on the entire highway.
Yeah, because that's going to make the cops easier to find you. That's exactly what's going to happen. Man, some people are just, you got to play it smart. Like, you guys were too caught up in streaming this on your social media that you just forgot, hey, I'm picking up a bunch of money that does not belong to me, and there's an armored car, like I said, 50 yards in front of you. So, you guys knew exactly what you were doing. Not saying that I wouldn't have done the same thing, but guess what? I would have done it without evidence. And finally, before I close out today's show, I wanted to talk about this story. I really feel like it was nothing but clickbait. They give you part of the news in the text part of the story, but then they do the video story, but they don't add what they've updated in the story. So it really does confuse a lot of people. But the reason I wanted to play this is that some sophomore junior at Penn State University ended up going missing for 2 days, but they ended up finding her because she had fell down the trash chute, I guess, where you put the trash in there and it goes down into the dumpster. Well, she fell into it. But in the story, the text version that is included on the video, they bring up that one of her mates on the same floor as her offered her a blunt before this whole accident happened. And now they're trying to, I guess, maybe, I don't know if that's what they're angling for, to go after this guy because I guess he gave her a blunt before her dumbass fell down the trash chute.
A vigil tonight in New Jersey for 19-year-old Justine Gross. The Penn State student died last week after falling several stories through a trash chute.
I'll start off by saying this is a very, very tragic accident. It is. But come on, man. Like, have we ever, like, we talk about evolution all the time on this show. We talk about survival of the fittest, Darwin's theory. Where the smarter survive. And I know that's why they're trying to blame this all on smoking a little bit of weed. But guess what? I know plenty of potheads. Matter of fact, one of my best friends is one of the biggest potheads that I know. And he would be smart enough not to fall down a laundry chute or a trash chute. I mean, they're basically the same thing. You throw your laundry down, boom, it goes wherever, and then the trash chute. But I almost can guarantee you my friend that I consider one of my best friends, who is a pothead, would never, ever go out like this.
Tonight, as family and friends gather to remember her, still so many questions about what led up to her death. Eyewitness News reporter Naveen Dhaliwal was there for us.
But I miss you more than life.
On this cold fall night, family, friends, and former Summit High schoolmates of Justine Gross gathered.
Her going to college was everything she's ever wanted.
To remember this beautiful young woman who was a sophomore at Penn State.
Thank you so much.
Her mother, Francoise, tells us her daughter had big dreams to be in finance.
Pure beauty, you know, beauty and joy and strength, intelligence.
She was once a cheerleader.
She was a leader for her teammates. She was kind-hearted, bubbly. Bubbly, she had a great personality and an infectious smile. She really was a sweetheart.
All that promise ended last week when Francoise got that call.
It's like the call you never want to receive.
A college friend bringing the horrific news. The 19-year-old was found dead last Friday, 2 days after last being seen. Police say she fell through the 11th floor waste disposal chute into a receptacle on the ground floor.
Now, I also don't want to put out the possibility. A lot of date rapes, a lot of druggings happen on college campuses. Now, if somebody did drug her without her knowledge, then yes, I agree. That yes, then somebody should be held accountable. But if somebody offers you a joint, which I will find an updated story and play it tomorrow. But what I'm trying to say is that if somebody offers you a joint and you smoke it and you happen to fall down the waste disposal chute and you die, that's on you. You chose to smoke the weed. You might have not have been that smart of a kid that everybody thought you were, that even though you smoked a little bit of pot, you didn't know any better to go diving, synchronized diving into the laundry chute or the trash chute. Yeah, it does not add up.
Detectives say video evidence shows she was alone in the hallway before that fatal fall and are calling her death an accident. But her family, on the other hand,
Penn State State College police, they did everything that they needed to do, but there's absolutely more that they could do, and there's much more questions, absolutely.
Look, all right, I completely agree. If somebody was negligent and they caused the death of your kid, yes, sue the hell out of them. But this just looks and sounds like somebody that is just looking to cash in. All right, my daughter's already dead, so I might as well cash in on it. Because I'm telling you right now, like, you could offer me the biggest payout, like, say, for instance, if my dad would have died from negligence at the hospital and I wanted to sue, guess what? If you came to me right now and said, you know what, I would take that money back. I would give it all up. I would give every single bit of that money up. just to have another 10 years with my dad. And that's the God honest truth. I wouldn't even care if it was $1 million. That is just me telling the God honest truth between me and you as a supporter. But, I mean, they looked at it. They saw the video. Nobody was in there. It has been ruled an accident. And it just sounds like somebody that is devastated over the loss of a loved one and now wants to get a payday to cash in on it and make somebody pay for something that was your own daughter's fault.
While they hope to get those answers tonight,
being here at the football field where she was the varsity cheerleader is overwhelming.
They're coping with the loss of this bright star.
Don't take your family or don't take anyone for granted.
This poser ass hipster douchebag, I almost guarantee you, did not even know this chick that took a nosedive in the trash waste disposal bin. I almost guarantee you this dude didn't even know who she was. And he probably just saw the cameras and was like, oh, you know, I can be very generic in everything that I say and nobody will even know the difference that I had no clue who this chick was.
Because you may see them one day and they may be gone the next.
State College police say they're actively investigating Justine's death. They say right now all witnesses are cooperating. They say they're waiting for the medical examiner's report, which will take between 4 to 6 weeks. But right now, detectives are calling her death an accident.
Well, hey, I said my piece. I'm sure I offended some people, but I really don't care. But before I get out of here, if you get a chance, if you're in the market to buy or sell a home, or you know somebody that is in the market to buy or sell a home, tell them to check out my good friend Ian Hanna. He services the counties of Flagler, Volusia, and Brevard counties. And I know in this day and age, a lot of people don't want to drive around, look at a bunch of different houses because gas prices are high. Maybe you're trying to avoid people because of the pandemic. But guess what? My buddy Ian Hanna is the best when it comes to virtual tours. He can give you drone tours, virtual reality tours of any of the properties that he's showing. Go check him out at IanHannaHomes.com. If you guys haven't already did it, go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. Make sure to subscribe and hit that bell button, because when you hit that bell button, you're going to get alerted to anytime I go live or I upload any brand new content. Anyways, guys, getting out of here. Once again, I apologize for slacking last week, but this week is definitely going to be on the upswing. I hope you guys enjoyed today's show. Hope you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketBearClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Sirach. Show voiceover service is brought to you by JCVoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/Tuttle on the radio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle's social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with 2Ds.net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.